Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Bev. On today's call, we're going to discuss seven keys to motivating you toward success. Hallelujah.
We like that.
We do. If you're not motivated towards success, then you'll never leave the station to arrive at your destination. Money is not a lasting motivation for success. It's a serendipity to the journey. What motivates you to do what you do, or for that matter, to not do what you know you should be doing? Take time to sit down and write out what motivates you to do what you're doing now. What will motivate you to move beyond your current comfort zone? There are seven easily identifiable keys to motivating you toward success. First, you got to be motivated by love. Hebrews 10:24 Classic Amplified. And let us consider and give attention, continuous care, to watching over one another, studying how we may stir up, stimulate, and incite to love and helpful deeds and noble activities. Now, the Greek word for consider is G2657. G2657. It means to perceive, remark, observe, understand, to consider attentively, fix one's eyes or mind upon. Interesting definitions. Each of us need a game plan. Find one person today, for that matter this week, that you can say or do something to encourage them. And yes, keep encouraging them until what you've spoken becomes a part of their lives. Hebrews 10:24 Message Bible. Let's see how inventive we can be, encouraging love and helping out. You know, half of the 13 translations, and if you remember, that we looked at, including God's Word translation, said that we should, quote, consider how to encourage each other to show love and do good things. You know, then I saw the New Living Translation of Hebrews 10:24, which says, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. Are you going to motivate that special someone in your life on special days like Valentine's Day or holidays or whatever, and show them acts of love? A card and a gift, chocolate or otherwise, will send a message and motivate the recipient to share their love with you. You may not have someone special in your life at the moment, but there is someone special who's always asking you to be his.
That's right.
And he's definitely motivated by love.
Second, you're motivated by example. Proverbs 16:10 in the Message Bible says, a good leader motivates, doesn't mislead, doesn't exploit. The best way to motivate is by example. In Exodus 18:20 in the Message Bible, it says, your job is to teach them the rules and instructions to show them how to live, what to do. In order to be a successful leader in life, you must have a successor, which means that you must be training someone who works for you to effectively handle the things you need help in achieving.
That's good.
An effective leader should always be trying to work themselves out of a job by training and developing new leaders who can assume even greater areas of responsibility. Some people feel like, no, that'd be taking my job away. But I can promise you, a good leader is always in demand.
That's exactly right.
By providing for those you work with a godly example, you'll be amazed, or maybe not, at the number of people who do everything they can because, you know, they want to do their job well. They don't want to lose it.
No, they don't.
You know, The point of it is we need to consider the principle of Ephesians 6:8. Whatever good thing that happened, you cause to happen to someone else, God will do for you. Amen. Now that sounds like a win-win situation.
Yes, it is.
Whatever good thing you cause to happen to someone else, think of it, God will do for you. If you're good at developing successful leaders by providing a proper example, you'll never be out of a job. And one more thing, you'll never be broke either, because good leaders are hard to find.
And in demand.
And in demand too.
Third, you're motivated by helping others. Romans 15, verses 14 and 15. Romans 15, verses 14 and 15, Message Bible. Personally, I've been completely satisfied with who you are and what you're doing. You seem to be well-motivated and well-instructed, quite capable of guiding and advising one another. So, do a random act of kindness or kindnesses for your neighbors. It doesn't matter that you've lived there for 5 years and they've never spoken to you, nor does it matter if they respond to your gesture of friendship. God will use it to touch them, even if they wonder why they've been blessed. God keeps the books, and He'll bring someone into your life to bless you. How can I be so sure? Well, the scripture says so, Ephesians 6:8. Whatever good thing you cause to happen to someone else, God will do for you. Finally, if you send me an email or write me a letter, you can know with absolute certainty that we're praying for you and thanking God for you. I can even have a member of our prayer staff call and pray with you personally.
Amen.
Why would we be praying for you in such a manner? First, it's right for us to pray for one another. And second, it blesses us to be able to do so. 1 Thessalonians 3:9, New Living Translation. How we thank God for you. Because of you, we have great joy as we enter into God's presence.
Mm-hmm. Fourth, you can be motivated by envy. Ecclesiastes 4:4, Message Bible says, then I observed all the work and ambition motivated by envy. What a waste, smoke and spitting into the wind. You know, is jealousy or being envious ever come over you? Was it because someone got a promotion or a raise or a bonus or a benefit that you didn't and you thought you really should have gotten that instead? When a worker, even a Christian worker, is found looking at what other people have, keeping their eye on their own selves, really, that person will not be established with what they have. And that's really the sad part. That actually amazed me one time in church where the Lord just dropped this in my spirit. You know, that when someone came to the stage and was telling about the incredible amount of money that they were able to make during a job, I just felt the spirit of jealousy come over the congregation. And I'm sure not everybody, but enough that the spirit was very real to me. Yeah. And it really made me have to speak up and say, you know, if you are jealous or envious of someone who's doing better than you, I can assure you of this. This is really what the Lord said to me. You will not ever be able to walk in that because you're not, you can't get by this spirit to be able to attain it. So envy is a trap that's going to eat your lunch and rob you of future blessings. Proverbs 14:30, Classic Amplified says, a calm and undisturbed mind and heart are like the life and health of the body. But envy, jealousy, and wrath are like rottenness of the bones. Proverbs 27:4 says, wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy? Let me tell you this. Another thing on this, and it's very, very, very important, is that if you do a study of this emotion, you will learn an awful lot about how people get in a lot of trouble.
Yes.
One of the other characteristics of envious people is they save and savor bad news, passing it around like an appetizer at a dinner party. Look, people who murmur, complain, gloat, show bitterness and discord, these are not godly characters, and they will take you nowhere. Proverbs 24:17, New International Version, says, "Do not gloat when your enemy falls. When he stumbles, do not let your heart rejoice." And remember that it says in Proverbs 14:30, Classic Amplified, "A calm and undisturbed mind and heart are the life and health of the body." You know, we can tell you that the proper response to good fortune is to rejoice with people. And believe me, if you start rejoicing with people, then the blessings of God will start. I'm jumping and running in your direction. Romans 12:15 in the Classic Amplified says, "Rejoice with those who rejoice, sharing others' joy, and weep with those who weep, sharing others' grief." Here's a spiritual truth that we need to get down deep inside of us. When we can get as excited, this is what I started to say, about other people's blessings as you are your own,
yes.
Watch out.
Here it comes.
Because blessings and victories will be right behind you to overtake you. Hallelujah. Don't miss one of them. Being excited for others is a blessing, and it's a spiritual dynamic that will be satisfied before you yourself can walk in abundant blessings. So anyway, Galatians 5:26, let me read it from the Message Bible, says, "That means we will not compare ourselves with each other as if one of us were better than the other, or worse, better and another worse. We have far more interesting things to do with life. Each of us is an original, and each of us truly should be an original."
Amen.
Amen.
You know, honey, I like Galatians 5:26 too.
Okay.
And the Classic Amplified. It says, "Let us not become vainglorious or self-conceited, competitive and challenging and provoking and irritating to one another, envying and being jealous of one another." Tells us what we shouldn't do. And like you read in the Message Bible, that at least last sentence says, we have far more interesting things to do with our lives. Each of us is an original.
That's it, and as we should be.
We're not going to finish this today.
You are right.
We'll pick up on it again tomorrow and meditate on these things, and we look forward to talking with you again tomorrow.
That's right.
On Rich Sells for Breakfast.
Yes, indeed. We will be here front and center, but have a fabulous day.
Absolutely.
And as my husband likes to say, happy trails.
Yeah.
And I say, keep thinking rich thoughts from the Word of God.
Amen.
We'll see you tomorrow.
Good stuff. Talk to you tomorrow. Bye-bye.